Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is already June 1st, yay, and it's Friday. Can you believe it? We're already on Friday. Things are just rolling along. It's so cool that hopefully weather will get better. It's been, like, cloudy in California, cloudy and cold pretty regularly, and the weather's always so big to me because I always go for my walk right after the show, and I can't figure out, like, wow, you know, this, they used to just have June gloom, and now they have another term, and they say May gray and June gloom. So imagine we have to come up for a term to cover up to how much longer it's gray. But, man, these 2 months, worst month to come to vacation to California would be in May and in June. They're the coldest months. They're actually, for me, generally colder than the entire winter. So today we have questions. Today's Questions Friday, but I did want to make an announcement. I will be gone, believe it or not, even for me to believe it, from Monday until next Wednesday. So I will be back on June 13th. I can't believe I'll be gone that long, but I will be, excuse me, out of the country. So that's like a long time, and I don't know if I'll be able to post, but I know that using my phone or the radio or that would be another thing. But, you know, I'm going to miss you guys. I'm already, like, I was going to write up Monday's show, and I thought, wait a minute, I'm not going to be here on Monday. But I will be back on June 13th, so it won't be in California because California is cold, but I will be somewhere warm, I hope, and hopefully get to see a lot of rain and stuff like that, and just enjoy that. So I have some questions. One of the questions I have is, dear Nadia, I have a question for Friday. I've read in Origins of Truth that a newborn knows what the adult has forgotten, and that a newborn carries greater knowledge of life than that of a schooled soul on earth. Is a newborn not veiled yet from home, and can you tell me something about this? Well, I have to tell you a lot about this. Newborns, which is why we are all attracted to them the way we are attracted to them, is because of that. They have this, I want to say they have a scent. And every single newborn has it. I don't care what baby you carry, where in the world you carry it, but they have a scent to them. And I knew when I first had my children, people would pick them up and go, oh, they smell like a newborn. And I can't tell you, I can't describe the scent, but there's a scent. And when you carry them, or they say, oh, I just want to smell them. They're you know, little babies have the smell, and I realized, you know, oh my God, they do. And there's just that freshness. But they have no prejudice, only have love. They only cry because they can't talk and tell you they're hungry or that they're uncomfortable. They understand us through energy. Because think, they're born. All they know how to do is eat, or they go to the bathroom. Not to the bathroom, but they dirty their diapers. And that's it. They sleep and eat. They wake up for a little bit, especially in the very beginning. They're sleeping all the time because they're still kind of home in here. You know, they're transitioning. Just like when we go back home and we transition, they are transitioning as well. And it takes, and I actually read this somewhere before I had a baby, but I didn't understand everything I understood now. And they would say that it takes a child an entire month whole month to get used to being out of the womb and that warmth and that, you know, just the sound of your voice from the inside, not having to eat, you know, and having to learn to eat, coming out of water because they're in a sack with fluid. We all were in water. Once we come out, we no longer can live like that, but we start out like that. Think about that. I was thinking about that before, how, you know, we were in water and then we come out and we can't do that again. We can't go underwater and breathe. Actually, we have to hold our breath. So it's an interesting thing, that part. Being a child, even when you talk to them, they know if what you're saying is okay or not. And as they start to get older and start to shed, because they stay in that protective state until about 7 years. That's why they call the 7 years the formative years, because you start to, you learn everything you need to learn to live in that beginning. You learn, you know, to walk, to talk, to, you know, figure things out, to learn what's okay and what isn't, and that, you know, don't hurt yourself and all those things. But where you really start gaining speed on learning the outside world is between 7 and 12. So things that happen in those years really impact you, even though the most you will learn will be before that period of time, the 7 to 12 to 13 to 14 years, until you hit puberty and that protection starts coming off so that you can do what you came here to do. But look at how long that takes. It takes you to get to 13, 14 years before everything starts to be ready for you to experience in your life. When you understand the process of what it takes to bring a human being to Earth, because nobody just lands from the sky, the only ticket we've got is to come through another human being. What it takes for those two people to get together, for an egg to get fertilized, for you to be pregnant, for you to have the child, for what your body goes through, for what the child goes through, for all the learning that takes place in that child, in you, when you were that child. And then going through formative years, and then from formative years to that acceleration of feeling that protection go. And then trying to figure out what the heck just happened to you. And then trying to stay cool about it and go with the flow. But a young child, they will approach anybody with love and laugh and smile and enjoy. Generally, they're pretty happy. Sometimes, you know, I know little kids who, you know, get directed a lot. Do this, don't do that. Oh, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that all day long. And they're a little jumpy because we've taught them to be jumpy. But I hope that I'm answering your questions, because they do carry knowledge greater than a schooled soul on earth, because a schooled soul is told how to think. I'm going to say that again, because we're told how to think. Where a child that's just on their own is a discoverer. And they may not know the depths of a history book, but they will know a lot about life. And that's something, you know, when you think, your questions and all of that start coming into play in your life. It's an amazing knowing when you know kids who haven't gone to school, and you think, oh my God, they don't know anything, and you meet them, or they're homeschooled. You know, an entire family of 7 kids who were all homeschooled are still, there's still some young ones left. And their dad takes them everywhere. They're at the gym with him in the morning. He drives them all around the city. They know everything about LA. They know the museums. They know the zoos. They know all the different places you can go, the planetariums. They know Griffith Park. They know all these places. They know life. And we need to know life to live life. And I have been going through a huge writing spree all over again. It just started like a few months ago. And at first I thought it was a fluke. Like, oh, I just wrote that. Boy, I haven't written like that in a while. And then it happened again. And then it happened again. And now it's happening like every other day. And yesterday morning it happened after the show. And I wrote this whole piece about education. And Christ said that the way we are educating young children now is de-education. We are stifling creativity, which we all know already. It's not like he just said anything new about it. But he described de-education. He described filling space with things that we can't use at a time when we're learning. Our learning potential is the greatest. And I, as I wrote it, and I'm telling you guys, 5 pages, single spaced. And I kept thinking, I'm going to get up, but it never happened. But I'm going through it again, and it's amazing. And it's amazing because we need to find, and people have already started thinking it. There are already programs K-12 where you can learn on the internet and still be homeschooled, because part of the issue of homeschooling was the fact that who's going to do it? But, you know, we're still dealing with kids. There still needs to be supervision. We have to figure out an in-between between schools, creativity, families, and life. We can do better than this. The foundation I started, the Emotional Wellness Centers, are to get emotional health care taught in schools, to build emotional health care into our communities and into our schools. I wanted to say villages because we're thinking like villages. We're not thinking bigger yet. But that's where kids, they just know better. Like, well, why do we do that? Why do babies, how do babies know more? They don't even discriminate. They don't know what color they are. They don't know what religion they are until we tell them. They don't know where they live. They don't know what country they live in. They don't know what language they're hearing yet. Think about that. But they love. They love. And that Christ asked me, who would you be if everybody you knew didn't know you? You'd be a person who would talk to people. And anyone who would talk to you, you'd talk back to. Anyone who showed you kindness, you would receive it and you would reciprocate it. You'd naturally do it. Wouldn't be like, oh, I got to know this person. You would just naturally know that person. But then we start teaching, oh, no, don't talk to them. Oh, no, don't do that. Oh, no, and the don'ts list longer than the do's. So I hope I answered your question, Marco. I have another question. Liam asked it, and he said, I don't need this answered anymore. But then somebody said, it's everywhere. And so I thought, I do want to answer that question, even if it's not to Liam per se. But there is a question, and it happens to everybody, especially in schools, is I have a question. How do you deal with someone who's lying about us and perhaps is believing the lie themselves? I don't know for sure if they are knowingly lying or mistaking themselves. It's very hard to be accused of some things that just aren't true. I'm accused of things that aren't true, and I look at it, and it amuses me because I think, this is someone who doesn't know me. They're one person in the whole world. or they say there's unbeing. If you get unbeing, somebody copied when my last name was Bradley, so back in those days, but it's still unbeing, that I'm a false prophet. And I thought, oh, wow, they called me a prophet. That's cool. So they thought I was important enough to fight publicly. But they created, with my picture, my old picture that was on Facebook, a page. I don't know if it was a Facebook page or a YouTube channel. I didn't even care enough to figure out what they did. But either way, they pretended they were me. And they wrote up a page, and they put that I was a false prophet. And I thought, oh, good, controversy. I could care less. Because what's that going to do to stop me or start me? And what was I asking of people for my false prophethood? And what am I trying to prove with my false prophethood? And you know, they're trying to say I'm a devil, or I don't even know how far it went. But they took the time to make the page and to create a lie based on what they believe is true, exactly what's here. Maybe they're mistaken themselves. Maybe they unknowingly did it. Maybe they knowingly did it. Well, they knowingly did it. But it, to me, it was just a good story. Still there, I'm pretty sure. I didn't check for a long, long time. I just remember when it came out and you Googled my name, it showed up. Because there wasn't that much about me out there yet. Now, I don't know where it lands, but when anybody takes the time to have the time to talk about anybody else, that tells you a lot right there. That just tells you a lot right there. When they have the time to take the time to talk about anybody else. In a weird way, it's like, wow, thanks for paying attention to me to that level. Because, you know, I don't do that. But I don't believe that our validation comes from other people unless we think it does. So how to deal with that in a weird way is, you know, Like my son always says, it's only one person out of how many billion? But they may want to say things, and if somebody tells you about that lie, a friend or family says, oh, so-and-so is saying this about you, they'll know if it's true or not. But usually a lie will tell on itself. Because somebody may say, well, why are you saying that? Why do you need to talk about that? Why don't you ask that person? But we already have evolved to the point that when we hear somebody talking about somebody else, we question the person who's talking as opposed to going after the person they're talking about. So my answer to that would be, how do you deal with someone? Is to trust who you are. Because people are going to say stuff all the time. People who first meet me, and they may have heard from someone else. And this is, seems to be the hardest part, is people who heard about me from someone else and then meet me, and maybe the person who talked to them about me likes me or is my friend, and then they're like, well, who does she think she is? And people who've said to my friends, you know, well, she has some kind of, I know Vicky Alexandria put down mental disorder probably. They would say that about me, that I had this grandiose, you know, they didn't realize I wrote the books and do all this stuff or whatever. And I have this, what was it, like a disorder of having to be special and feel that I'm special. So I came up with this story. And I met those people, and they were really nice to me when they met me. And then the words came out, and then I found out later, and I go, wow, they had enough wherewithal to be nice to me when they met me, because they really wanted to know if it was true. But somebody's words didn't scare me. It just shows interest, and you just have to rise above it somehow, because it's easy to get caught under it, and it's not worth your time. Look at it as a compliment. Turn it around in your mind. Oh, wow, they took enough time to say this about me. And, you know, I've been accused. I've seen other people get accused of things. And if somebody did somebody harm, physically or mentally, that's one story. But just to go around attacking people for whatever reason you have in your own mind, that kind of stuff is the frivolous stuff of life. And, you know, to put your time and energy into that is to waste your time and energy in that arena, because any of us can easily decide to go into that arena and worry about what random people or people we know say about us and fight it all. It's a drain, and it's an energy zapper. And I always look at things like that in that way. I used to have people get on my page and fight me, men, in the very beginning. And I couldn't figure out why they would be so upset. I never write anything scary or mean or bad. I'm always putting down things that have to do with us being better. But then I realized they were scared. They felt bad. And every single one of them that I ended up talking to, because in the beginning I had more time. When Facebook first started, we had no idea how much time we were going to put in. But at that time, we didn't stay on all day. And I would write to them, and I ended up helping them. And then they no longer needed me. And I realized, wow, there's a pattern here. That these people who really have something to say, are really scared, are really angry, they didn't go to other people to attack me. They came straight to me and attacked me. And I admired that. But if I hear it from someone who said something to someone, that's cowardly. And I'm not going to give my time to cowardly type behavior. Decide what you want to take a war with. Pick your battle. I have learned to work a lot of that stuff out of my life. And I never, ever missed it now that it's gone. Somebody attacked me on my page or put something weird on my page. I don't know who they are, but now through 16 years of experience, I know something's really, really wrong, and I delete the comment, and it's done. It's over. Unless I feel that there's validity in the statement that I can help that person by responding, but sometimes they just want to attack, and no matter what I say, they want to attack and attack and attack, and I used to get into these long conversations, and now I just delete it. But 10 years ago, didn't occur to me to delete it. Oh, no, that's mean. Oh, no, that's not okay. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. And the thing that made me see that was time. I didn't have the time to play the game. I have a job to do. And I want to do it in the best way that I know how. We all have a job to do, and we all want to do them in the best way we know how. So we can decide what stumbling blocks we want to take on and what isn't worth our time, because we only have so much of it. and this happens as far as high schools, and it goes on into older, and usually the older I get and the smaller our circles get, we don't hear that as much because now we're choosing the people that are around us. But if we're choosing these kinds of people who are talking about us, and then we're choosing to fight them all the time, now that's a choice on our part, and we have to ask ourselves why we're attracted to that, and why we are doing that, and why it's okay for us to do that. Because a lot of that starts coming into play. We are sensitive human beings. We are sensitive beings. We know now enough about energy exchange to decide where we want to exchange our energy. We know enough now about fear and doubt, worry, control, and guilt to know when it's happening. We know enough to see when something isn't okay around us. And we also know enough that all of this is a choice. And sometimes in the beginning, when we're not used to making these choices, it's not easy because we've got the fear, doubt, worry, control, and guilt going on in our head. But it's a choice to what you decide to put your time into. A lot of times when people talk about us, they just don't understand us. That's okay. That's okay. But as we get to know people and know their personality, know their characteristics, and know that they're there and this is how they do it, might not be how you do it, but this is how they do it. We understand that. We respect that. We know that person isn't too far away, even if we heard or didn't hear from them or whatever. But if the people you're surrounding yourself with are talking stuff that hurts your feelings or isn't true, then start asking questions of yourself, not of them, because you're not going to stop them. There's a lot to be said for paying attention to your surroundings, who's surrounding you, why they're surrounding you, why you chose them. Back to self-accounting. Back to self-accounting. Why do I allow this to be the biggest part of my day, life, thoughts? Straightened, I know. But I had to blow through that wall because if I didn't, I would be preoccupied all day long with what someone said. But who is that someone? So really put that in perspective. I mean, that was a great question. It's one that exists daily. You walk into companies and you have people who won't talk to certain people because they said something about them and whatever, but rise above it because there is a level above that. There is a place above that. There is a growth to go through to get there. And you know you've grown when you know that that doesn't matter. Someone can tell you, you did this to me, you did that to me. I remember a person told me, you broke my heart after I broke up with them. And Christ said, you did not break his heart. His heart was broken. He wanted you to fix it. And when I said that to him, he started to cry because he knew it was true. So the truth will heal us. You guys, I gotta go. We only have 10 seconds left. I can't believe it. I love you guys so very much. Have a great weekend. I will see you on the 13th of June. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.